If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone, welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I am your host, Jacob Reimer. We got a big episode today. College basketball is just 3 days away. Happy Friday, by the way, going into the weekend. We'll have college basketball on Monday. Monday night. Yes. Very, very exciting. It's awesome. We're getting closer. It's been a long wait. A lot of teams that could be in the mix this year. Realistically, I could see like 10 to 15 teams that could make a run. Like, this college basketball season is going to be loaded. It's going to be so much fun. But we're 3 days away. On Monday night, we will have college basketball. And it's big time. It's awesome. It's huge. So let's get into this episode. First story that we have announced on Wednesday, Gonzaga is looking into joining the Big 12. That's some very, very significant news right there. Gonzaga, they've been needing to leave the West Coast Conference for years. Because the past decades, that's all they've been known about is the Cinderella team. Coming out of the West Coast Conference, a conference that normally gets at least one bid a year into the NCAA tournament. And now they're looking at like 2 to 3, but it's still not like a tough enough conference to prepare Gonzaga for the NCAA tournament. They're not getting the right competition that they need come March and come the NCAA tournament. We saw that last year when they got walloped by Arkansas on the Sweet 16. Memphis hung around with them in the round of 32. And, 2 years ago in the national championship, they couldn't hang on and beat Baylor. They barely survived a Jalen Suggs half-court shot against UCLA that sent them to the championship game. The most recent time getting the national championship, they lost to North Carolina in a close game. That was in 2017. Gonzaga, they are looking to join the Big 12. It was first reported by ESPN on Wednesday. The source stressed there is no immediate timeline, and the Big 12 is not the only league that has reached out to Gonzaga. The Pac-12 is also in the mix, which, you would think Pac-12, West Coast, it's more ideal for Gonzaga to go join that conference. They'd still be getting a lot of good competition there in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is not bad in basketball. UCLA is going to be really good this year. USC has been pretty good. Arizona, Oregon, they got some good teams out there on the West Coast. Gonzaga, that'd be an ideal spot, but if they really want to get over the top, the Big 12 would be huge for them to join. So I like that a lot. But there's no movement right now in this. It's just a potential lead that Gonzaga could be going there. Gonzaga does, they've expressed to the Big 12 and the commissioner of the Big 12 that they want it to be an all sports deal coming to the Big 12, not just for basketball, which is actually kind of huge, because you think Gonzaga, you think basketball. You think a team that is always making a deep run in the NCAA tournament, or not NCAA tournament, but undefeated throughout the whole season or something like that, only having a couple losses because they don't play anybody in basketball. I don't even know if they have a football team, to be honest. But the Pac-12, either of those conferences should be pushing hard after Gonzaga, especially for basketball, because the Big 12, they are losing Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, but they are also gaining like Cincinnati, Houston, some other big kind of like American conference teams. But you can also expand it a little more. Throw in the Bulldogs there. Throw in the Zags. If I'm the Pac-12, I'm going hard after Gonzaga, because you're losing UCLA and USC in 2024 to the Big Ten. Still a crazy move, to be honest. But with two, because it doesn't look like they're bringing anybody in either with those two leaving the Pac-12. They got to try and get Gonzaga and somebody else to fulfill those spots. I like Gonzaga to the Big 12 a lot more because the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball, top to bottom. They are the best conference. You see them getting almost all of their teams in the NCAA tournament year in, year out. Kansas and Baylor, they're the two reigning national champs. They're from the Big 12. They're always in the mix, the top two teams right there. And the championship before with the COVID year, which the COVID year, I think Kansas could have won. That Kansas team was insane. Devon Dotson, Azubuike, whatever you want to say his name. They had Obagi still, Christian Brown. Like, that team was nuts. That team was loaded. So Kansas could have very well won it in 2020. And then the year before that, when Virginia won the national championship, Texas Tech was on the very last Monday of college basketball playing for the national championship. Texas Tech, another Big 12 team. That was when they had Chris Beard, and I don't even know where any of those players from that Texas Tech team are. But my point is, it would be better for Gonzaga to go and join the Big 12. They're getting a lot better competition. They're getting some of the best environments in college basketball. You go to Texas Tech on a Monday night with the blackout there, because it's going to be a blackout for Gonzaga, especially because they're going to be ranked inside the top five each year. They recruit well. Mark Few's been recruiting well. They got Drew Timmy coming back this year. So, I mean, they returned some pretty big names. But going to Texas Tech on a Monday night, that's not going to be easy. You go into Lawrence, Kansas on a Monday night, even any night, that's the loudest environment in college basketball. Baylor's pretty ruckus. You got Texas, who's on the rise this year. I think they're going to be a pretty good team this year, led by Chris Beard. I like them a lot. But you're getting better competition by joining the Big 12. The Pac-12 isn't that good basketball-wise. You got, like I said earlier, you got UCLA, you got USC, you got Arizona, you got Oregon. But those guys can't compete really with a Kansas, a Baylor, a Texas Tech, a Texas. I know I'm missing a few teams. TCU is going to be pretty good this year as well. So if I'm Gonzaga and I'm the athletic director at Gonzaga, I am on the Big 12 and pushing after them, saying we want to join your league. We want all of our teams in here, all our sports teams. We want to come and be a part of the best conference in the Power Five, because there's an argument that they are. I think they're the best conference in basketball, 100%. So I think if I'm Gonzaga, I am pushing hard at the Big 12 to get and join that conference a couple years from now. It would be very, very cool for them. It'd beef up their schedule. They would bring in all these recruits because, yeah, we're playing the top teams in college basketball each year. Like, that's why I'm excited for Cincinnati, because they're going to a Power 5 school. They're going to get a lot of big-time recruits potentially. And it's going to be huge for them. Gonzaga, another small school, they landed Chet Holmgren, they landed Jalen Suggs, they got Drew Timmy, who's the second best player, arguably the best player in college basketball this year. So they've got a lot going for Gonzaga. They continue to recruit well, they continue to win, they continue to have success over there on the West Coast. Come join the Big 12. It gets you very well prepared for the NCAA tournament. Like I just said, you have the last three national championship games has consisted of a Big 12 team, and very easily could have another Big 12 team make it, or a potential Big 12 team be playing on the last Monday night of college basketball this year. So that's exciting. I'm disagreeing with some of these conference realignments, but this one I really like, just because, yeah, it's Gonzaga. They get a lot of hate because they play in the West Coast Conference. They don't play anybody all conference season long. They don't play any blockbuster matchups, and they do in the non-conference, but they only play like four or five big-time non-conference games in the early part of the season when everybody's still trying to figure themselves out. You're not going to know what this team can do in February and March competing against a Kansas, a Baylor, a UCLA, any of those teams. or potential like North Carolina, Duke, Indiana, Villanova, throwing some of those teams out there. In March, you could face them in the round of 32s, the Sweet 16s. You could potentially have those matchups, and Gonzaga's not preparing themselves for that by staying in the West Coast Conference. I know that they want all teams to go to the Big 12, but if you just get basketball, that should be fine, because that's what you're more known for up there and in all of college basketball, the whole world, the United States. That's what you're known for, is your basketball. If there is any way you can get your basketball team in the Big 12, you got to do it. Got to do it. The Ohio State basketball team, they had a scrimmage a couple nights ago against Chaminade, who I believe is in the Maui Invitational with Ohio State as well. I could be wrong about that, actually, because there's a lot of good teams out there in the Maui Invitational this year. But they looked really, really good, guys. I mean, I'm not trying to overreact or anything. It was Chaminade. They won in the scrimmage 101-57. They put up 100 points against Chaminade in a full game. 20 minute halves, 40 minutes total. Put up 101 points against the Chaminade seed. And they were without arguably their best player, Justice Suing, and Eugene Brown, one of their better defenders. I mean, I don't want to overreact, guys, but this team looks really good. Holtman did a great job this offseason. They were tremendous defensively. He brought in what they needed to fix from last season. They've got shooters. They've got a bunch of wing scorers. They've got defenders. Like, this team can lock up. They play fast too, which I absolutely love. I don't know if you saw my tweets or anything, guys, but that's basically what I was tweeting about the whole time, was how I love how fast they were playing. But another thing, Tanner Holden might be him. He might be him. He did not start in this game. I will admit I was wrong on my starting lineup projections in my article on Scarlet and Game. Go check that out. I was thinking, I also didn't know Suing wasn't going to play. I'm thinking for the long term what the lineup will be. My prediction was Bruce Thornton, Justice Suing, Tanner Holden, Ice Likely, and Zed Key. The lineup ended up being Bruce Thornton, Sean McNeil, Ice Likely, freshman Bryce Sansabaugh, I love his game too, by the way, and Zed Key. So, they got a few right. They got a few of them right. They got three. Justice Suing will start, so I got 4 out of 5 right. But after what Tanner Holden did against Chaminade, I think we will see him in the starting lineup on Monday night. It's going to be very tough to keep him off the floor this year. I don't think I mentioned it. He had 25 points off the bench. 25 points off the bench. Was 2 of 2 from 3. 25 points and only had 2 threes. He was 10 of 12 from the field, 3 for 4 from the 3-point line, and had 6 rebounds. 25 points in total. This guy was hooping. He was everywhere. He can score on all 3 levels, driving to the basket and finishing through contact, shooting the 3, pull-up jumpers. He's got a smooth lefty stroke. I mean, guys, this guy averaged 20 at Wright State last year. No matter the school, no matter the conference, if it's Power 5 or not, averaging 20 points a game at Division 1 level is insane. Absolutely insane. That's really, really good. Tanner Holden is going to be a huge factor for this team this year. Like I said, they love to play fast. With Suing in the lineup, they will have a 3-guard look. Bruce Thornton, Ice Likely, and Justice Suing. And they will play fast. They get the rebound and they go. And it's fun. Zed Key was running the floor. He was getting leak out layups because he ran the floor. It was fun. It was a very fun game to watch. They have so many shooters. How many threes did they make? They were 7 of... No. That's from the free throw line. They were 12 of 23 from the 3-point line. So more than 50%. right? Where's Todd Father from half? Yeah, that's more than 50%. I'm just kidding, because, yeah. I'm just kidding. That's definitely more than half. But they made 12 threes. They got two from Tanner Holden, like I said. Roddy Gale Jr., he was 2 for 2. He very easily could be one of the best two-way guards in the Big Ten this year. This guy can flat-out defend. He's getting up in people's grill, getting deflections, and he can also score. He had 14, freshman Roddy Gale. Felix Akpara, guys, this dude is something that Ohio State needed to fulfill on the defensive end. This guy's 6'11". He's real skinny, but he's got the longest arms in the world. This guy comes out of nowhere and blocked two. He had two blocks, I'm pretty sure, last on their exhibition. And he looked really well for them defensively. Having him to come in for Zedke or playing them both on the floor at the same time will be very nice to have, especially with the guys that the bigs that they're going to have to play this year. It's going to be a tough matchup for Zed defensively and even offensively. I mean, they got to face Duke with their freshmen. They got like 3 7-foot freshmen coming in this year. I don't know about three, at least two. Lively and Filipski. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. They also have to play North Carolina. Armando Bacot, projected ACC Player of the Year, first team All-America. And, I mean, I'm not even talking about the guys, the bigs in the Big Ten, because we're going to get into that later on, the top five returning big men. They got to face Zach Edey, Hunter Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis. I mean, you name it. You name it. Like, the Big Ten's loaded with bigs this year, just like they were last year. Chris Murray, yeah, Keegan Murray's brother, he looks like he's going to be pretty good for Iowa this year. Tyler Wall, Wallball, Wisconsin. So, I mean, this team, this Big Ten is loaded with bigs, and having Felix Akpara to come in off the bench, have a reliable big to back up Zed Key, who is long and can rim protect for this team, it's going to be huge. It's going to be so huge. Ice Likely, vocal leader, defensive guy, he brings so much energy to this team. The physicality, it's just going to help boost them tremendously defensively this year. I love the way this team looked. They're going to be a fun team to watch. They're projected to finish, I think, 6th or 7th in the Big Ten this year right now. We are very early. A lot of things can happen. I'm very excited. Hopefully we can get Justice Suing healthy. He didn't play with an ankle injury, and I think that Holtman is still unsure of his condition to play or not on on Monday night in their home opener against Robert Morris. So, but yeah, this Ohio State team, I'm very excited about the depth, the talent level that they have. I think they'll finish. I wouldn't be surprised if they finish top three in the Big Ten. I really wouldn't be. The Big Ten, yeah, it's deep again this year. I think the top three teams in the Big Ten this year will be Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio State. I'm not huge on Michigan. I don't think Hunter Dickinson can get them there again. They need more weapons up there for him. Indiana, they return a lot. I think a lot of teams are sleeping on Illinois this year, and a lot of teams are sleeping on Ohio State. I think this Ohio State team is very dangerous. They can very easily finish in the top three of the Big Ten because of the guard play that they have. They want to play fast. They improve tremendously defensively. I don't know why I said it like that, but they have so many shooters. That's going to help open up Zed Key on the inside, because teams won't be able to help as much with all the shooters they have. Zed's going to have to be a great post passer like EJ Liddell was for them last year. If Zed can do that, then these defenses are gonna have a lot of problems, because they're gonna have to either worry about the shooters or give up two on the inside for Zed. So, like I said, I'm excited about this team. I think they're gonna make a run this year. I'm very excited about it. The Cavs are back. The Cleveland Cavaliers are so back. What they did this offseason to land Donovan Mitchell was one of the best moves for an offseason the Cavs have done forever. They are back. They are very back. They beat the Celtics. They've now beat the Celtics twice in 7 games and 2 in overtimes. One in Cleveland and one in Boston. the ending to the one in Cleveland just recently was insane. Jason Tatum poster dunk that sent us to overtime, and the Cavs took over in overtime. Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland is back. He's finally healthy. He had 25. Like, this guy, like, they have the best starting lineup in the NBA. The starting five: Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Caris LeVert, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. Their bench is good too. They got Ricky Rubio. They got Kevin Love. Like, they're pretty deep. They got the role players that can help out these stars that they have. Here's a crazy stat for you though, for the Cavs: career points scored as a Cleveland Cavalier, Donovan Mitchell, in just seven games played, 218 points. He's been balling, guys, balling. Anthony Bennett, remember him? They took him first overall like 10 years ago. In 52 games played, he's got 217 points. Donovan Mitchell's only played seven games. If that just tells you anything about how much of a bust Anthony Bennett was, man, Donovan Mitchell could be the Cavs' savior. This Cavs team is very nice. They got the wing scoring with Garland and Donovan Mitchell, two all-stars. Caris LeVert is a great third option to have. And Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the inside, that's a very tough combo. That's a very tough front court right there. Like, I think they're a top three team in the East, and I don't think they're number three either. Like, they're at least second. At least second. They very easily could be first. I mean, they've beaten the Celtics twice already, the reigning Eastern Conference champs. So I think they're second above them. The only one that is above them right now is the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the best player in the world. And what I think is huge for this Cavs team is how good they are defensively on the inside, that they have the front court that can contain Giannis and the bigs of Milwaukee. They will have to be better defensively on the perimeter when Chris Middleton comes back for the Bucks, because they got Jrue Holiday, they got Chris Middleton. Caris LeVert's I think he's a good defender. Donovan Mitchell needs to be better defensively, and so is Garland. But they can continue to score at a high rate. I think the bigs that the Cavs have will help them a ton when having to play the Bucks, because I think they can contain Giannis. I really do. This Cavs team, they are tough. They're gritty. They get after it. They've won some big-time games so far this season. Second in the East right now. They've only got one loss, and that was on the first game of the year up in Toronto. So they can just win on U.S. soil, and that'd be okay. But, yeah, this team is a lot of fun. This team, they're fun to watch. The energy in Cleveland, the vibes up there, I wish could be down in Cincinnati as well, because you got the Guardians who are very young, the Cavs are very young. Don't know what's going on with the Browns, but they just beat the Bengals, and I'm not too happy about that. But what's going on in Cleveland is a lot of fun, and I'm a Reds fan, I'm a Bengals fan. I like the Cavs. I like the way they play basketball. They get after it. They got the great guard play. They got the great wings, and two very solid bigs on the inside, and they got the vets. Having some key veterans to come off the bench or something like that that can give any kind of knowledge to this team is huge to any team. I think this team, I know it's very, very early, they can make a run at it. They very easily. I don't think the East is all cracked out it's supposed to be. I mean, the Nets, they're not good right now. They just fired their head coach, Steve Nash. And crazy, they took the Celtics old coach, Ime Udoka, who was suspended by the Celtics, now leaving from Boston and going to Brooklyn. Could he change that team around? I don't know. But that'll be an interesting factor to see right there in Brooklyn. But New York, I think they're pretty good with Jalen Brunson. The Raptors are decent. The Hawks are decent. 76ers are so bad. And James Harden's now out for a month. So yeah, that's pretty cool. The Cavs, they're right there in the mix. And I think they're a contender. I will put that name next to them. They are 100% a contender in the NBA. They beat the Celtics twice. They just beat them twice. I think they can hang with the Bucks. When do they play each other? Let's see if we can find when they play each other. Give me one second. Cavs, they play the Pistons tonight in Detroit. Oh, and then they play at LA on Sunday. Wow, going from East Coast to West Coast, basically. Wow, that's a tough. They play at the Pistons, then at the Lakers, at the Clippers, at the Kings, at the Warriors. Then on November 13th, they come home and play the Timberwolves. Then they go back on the road for their first matchup on November 16th at the Bucks. That's got to be an ESPN game, because that's the two best teams in the East right there, 100%. Bucks and Cavs, they need to get more Cavs games on ESPN and TNT, because they are very fun to watch. But yeah, we'll find out a lot more about this team here. This upcoming road trip that they have along the West Coast, and then come home for a tough one with the Timberwolves, and then their first matchup with the Bucks in Milwaukee. So that's going to be very cool. All right, now to finish out the show, my top five returning centers to college basketball. I don't have an honorable mention list for this episode, so we're just going to get right into it. Zach Edey from Purdue at number five, coming back for another year. And we'll see an increased role this year with Jaden Ivey gone and Travion Williams. Because last year, if you remember, Travion Williams and Zach Edey had to split a lot of time because they were two bigs at the same position, two very different games, and they just couldn't play on the floor together, which I don't understand why they couldn't get that to work. But he's going to see an increased role this year at Purdue. They brought in some guards in the transfer portal, which will help them a ton. But, I mean, it's going to be tough to stop a 7-4 guy down low. Purdue always gets those dudes. Number four, I got Hunter Dickinson. He came back for another year at Michigan. He's the guy again in Ann Arbor. I don't know what he's got around him, but they are going to rely on him heavily this year. He's not much of a guy that steps out, shoots the jump shots. I don't like his jump shot. It's very weird. But he goes all left. He's a really good player. He's a really good player. Don't get me wrong. He'll probably get first team all Big Ten this year. He's going to lead this Michigan team. This Michigan team will go if he goes. If he can continue to be like what he did when he was a freshman and put those kind of numbers up, then Michigan will have a good year this year. But if he can't, then they could be in trouble. Number three, I got my guy from North Carolina, Armando Bacot. Preseason ACC Player of the Year, preseason First Team All-America. Like, this guy is going to be a monster this year. Him and the guys at North Carolina, they got a massive chip on their shoulder for how last season ended, coming up just short in the national championship. They all returned for another year, and they want to run it back and get to that final Monday in college. Final Monday night of college basketball, and they want to be on the other end of the confetti this year. So I think with Bacot, they can do that. I think they can very easily do that. I mean, this guy's a walking double-double. No matter, like, he's a given 10, 12 rebounds each night, and he'll go for those ones where he gets you 20, where he has 20 rebounds and 12 points or something like that. Or he'll have the nights where he goes for 25 and 18 rebounds, something like that. What's going to be huge for him this year is his health, because of how last season ended with his ankle. But he's got some bigs behind him. Will Shaver, Jalen Washington, coming off the bench that can back him up a little bit. And the Tar Heels don't have to be too worried about if he gets into foul trouble or not, because they've got some reliable big men to back him up, or they go small. They got a lot of great wing scorers. But Bacot, walking double-double, he's going to shatter so many records at North Carolina. Break a record that nobody thought would be touched, and that's career rebounds by Tyler Hansbrough. I don't know exactly the number. We'll find that out for another time. But I think Bacot will definitely pass that and be the all-time leader in rebounds and double-doubles in North Carolina history. Number two, I got Drew Timmy from Gonzaga, coming back for another year. Going to be fun for him this year, coming back. Kind of like that villain role, I guess. A lot of people, they aren't huge fans of Drew Timmy. especially coming back. I think his game is kind of limited when it comes to NBA. That's why he came back. But with being Gonzaga, the main option in Gonzaga, they don't have another big to play along him like Chet last year. He's going to dominate in the post in the West Coast. He's just going to be a monster. If he could have expanded his game a little bit, then that makes him even scarier, stepping out, making jump shots and whatnot. But Drew Timmy, second best center in college basketball and second best player in college basketball as well. The top three guys that I'm naming here, they are the three best players in college basketball, especially coming back this season. They are really good, really experienced, and they're going to help their teams a ton. And then number one is the reigning Wooden Award winner, Oscar Tshiebwe from Kentucky, who is currently hurt right now. And John Calipari says that he would be shocked if Tshiebwe is available to play on Monday night for their home opener. But Tshiebwe, he's hurt right now. You don't see this happen much. First time since Hansborough, where the reigning National Player of the Year comes back for another season. If Tshiebwe can stay healthy, this Kentucky team is going to be really good. Oscar Tshiebwe coming back, reigning National Player of the Year, another walking double-double there for Kentucky. And if he goes, they go. Same thing with Michigan and Hunter Dickinson. If Tshiebwe is going, they will go as well. They do have a lot of good wings to play alongside of him. So that's going to be a huge bonus for John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats there down in Lexington. Well, that's all I got for you guys today. That's my top five returning centers in college basketball. Oscar Tshiebwe, Drew Timmy, Armando Bacot, Hunter Dickinson, and Zach Edey. Thank you guys again for tuning in. This is Beyond the Arc. College basketball 3 days away. Let's go. So excited. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.